Well, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Steve, good to see you. He's back in from offshore. That's, you know. Amen. Well, we do want to wish everyone a very happy Mother's Day. And you might say, well, I'm not a mother, but as far as a lady, just happy Ladies' Day then, you know, because we like to honor here all mothers, all ladies, and we want to thank you for what you've given unto the church. Thank you for what you've given unto people's lives this day. Amen. But we do want to honor you and wish you a very happy Mother's Day. Remember, your worth as a lady or anyone, your worth is not in what mankind says you're worth. Because they put different values on mankind. Your worth is in who you know. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He makes you worthy. He makes you worthy. He makes you worthy. Amen. But I know as you came in this morning, we had a gift for all the ladies. Did anybody not get a gift this morning? We want to get it to you. Please, Melinda back there. Okay. My assistant is coming. Amen. Melinda, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's good to have you here. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I mean, you know, just to come together and worship Him and to honor Him. Amen. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, tithe and offerings was $1,603. So thank you for your faithfulness to the church and continue to be faithful because, you know, I know in that the Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. Would you just lift up your hands as we pray the blessings upon your life? Father, I want to thank you for your people. Lord God, they are just the heart of your soul, Lord God. And Lord God, I want to thank you for them giving of their of themselves, their money, unto this place. And Father, I pray that you will bless them abundantly, beyond measure. What we can't even contain the blessings that you would pour out your spirit upon them, Lord God. Bless them money-wise, bless them in their homes, and bless them in all that they endeavor to do for the kingdom of God. Father, work in their hearts and lives and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2. When you get there, just put your finger and lift up your Bibles as we make our declaration before Him, before our God. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the word of God is alive. Thank you, Lord. But we do want to wish, as I said earlier, a happy Mother's Day to all women. You know, even grandmothers nowadays, we do want to wish them a happy Mother's Day because you have a lot of grandmothers that are raising their grandchildren. You know, I mean, the society has kind of changed a little bit and things are happening. You know, thank God grandmothers and grandfathers are there to scoop them up and bring them in and be there for them. Thank God. And so, you know, we don't want to leave anyone out, you know. We want to honor all women. If you're single, if you're married, if your husband's deceased, you know, if you're a grandmother that's raising children or raising whoever, we do want to honor you and thank you for a job well done. Keep up the good work. our society and our generation is depending upon you, especially mothers and grandmothers and aunts and all that stuff, to help raise these children in a godly direction, in a godly sense or a godly conscience upon their hearts. Because without God, we are lost. And so thank you for instilling into them the Word of God. And first of all, thank you for praying for them, because prayer changes things. And the prayers of a mother and the prayers of a grandmother will change the atmosphere and will change what the devil is trying to do upon children and upon their husbands and upon the families, which is destruction. That's what he's trying to do. But thank you for being faithful in that direction and doing that and being faithful with your grandchildren and children and raising them up to be godly people in our society today. So thank you. And we do want to wish, like I said earlier, a very happy Mother's Day to all. You know, in the creation of mankind, when God, you know, don't ever think that mankind was an afterthought with God. You know, it's hard for us to perceive that God has always been here. It's hard for us to perceive that God always existed. Because everything we have has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, from our personal lives when we were born to where we are today, to one day we will pass away. Everything in the world, every building has its start. It may last 100 years, the building, or 200 years, but one day it will be destroyed. Everything we have. But it's hard sometimes, even in my mind, to perceive that God has always been there. And even from the beginning, God had in His mind the creation of mankind. And His creation, the reason He was going to create it was because of the love in His heart towards humanity. So God created mankind out of love, out of His heart. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Because it says in John 3:16. What? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. So we can stop right there. For God so loved the world. Well, we can put it this way. For God so loved mankind. For God so loved man. For God so loved women. For God so loved children. For God so loved the world that He gave. So in the beginning of our beginning, God in His mind had perceived long ago, before we could ever imagine, that He was going to create mankind. And we can go back and we can see in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So here we see God created man, which is what? Adam. Okay? So, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Then we can go to verse 19 of that same chapter. You might say, well, I thought this was Mother's Day. I'm getting to it. Don't worry about it, mothers. I'm getting to you. I'm getting to you. It says in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would name them. And the rest goes on. So here we see, you can leave that scripture up, Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. So here we see God created man from the dirt. He created everything, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, from the dust of the ground. Everything was formed. Everything. Now, look at verse of Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. We're getting to women now. You're probably saying, it's about time, huh? Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Very interesting. Very interesting. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. God bless you. Made he a woman. Now, in the Hebrew, if you have the Expositor's Bible, it says that where it says that he made he a woman, the Hebrew actually says that he built he a woman. Wow, that's different. You need to catch this. He formed man or Adam. Okay? From the clay. He, from the dust of the earth, he made what? The fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But it says that he made a deep sleep come upon Adam. Adam had never slept before. You ever thought of that? There was no need to sleep. He didn't have a body like us. He had a spiritual body. The spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit was over him. He didn't have to sleep. The Son was our God. There was nothing. He didn't have to rest to restore the body. The body was constantly restored because sin had not entered into the earth yet. So deep sleep came, and it says that God took from the side. It says rib, but it actually means the part of the side of the side. He took that, and it says that he built the woman. Now, it seems like when someone is building something, and you can lay it in the context of how the Hebrew text calls it, that he built the woman, that God has taken what? Extra time to build the woman, to make sure she's exactly what the man needs and exactly what her children will need and exactly what God will need. So here we see the extra time that God has taken to build. Do you want to know, ladies, how special you are? Mankind will sometimes say other things with the things that are happening in our world that will make sometimes women feel like they're nothing. But God in the scripture says that you are worth a lot. That he has taken the special time to build you up out of the side of man that he created first, yes. But to build and make you into what he desires and wants you to be. The special attention that he's given towards ladies, towards women, was something that he could only give. Because you see, there are certain attributes, certain things inside the woman that God has placed into her to give to her children, to give to her husband that they need. You want to know how special? You're very special to God. Doesn't matter what mankind says. Doesn't matter what family says. Doesn't matter what whoever may say. What God says is that you're special to him. And we know all mankind is special. But God took the time in the Hebrew text, it says that he built the woman. He built her with his hands, taking a part of Adam and building from the ground up or from the side up and down. Exactly what man would need and exactly what her children would need. How special you are to God. How special you are to God. That God would actually, the God of the universe, the God that made the heavens and the earth, the God that made all the fowls of the air, the beast of the fields, everything, the trees, everything, would take the time not to just speak it into being. He spoke things, but he took his hands and built something. That's how special you are, ladies. There was a lady called Phoebe Palmer. that had an impact on society many years ago. But I didn't know about her. But we still have the impact of what she's done in our society today. Phoebe Palmer grew up in the 1800s. That's a long time ago. Preceding 1857, long time ago, it says that she became a Christian. And she'd pray and she'd say, "Lord, help me to fulfill what you desire in my life." And it says that she would sometimes lock herself away for just a little bit just to get with God. And it says that she would have a heart for the city that she was living in, and tears would fall down her face, crying out to God that God would move at will within her community. Her husband was very influential at that time. He was a physical doctor. Money-wise, they didn't lack. They had everything in that society at that time that money could buy. But she knew there was something in her heart that she needed, and God had visited her. And after God had visited her and she gave her heart to Him, it says that she would go in and she'd pray and she would seek God and she would ask God to move upon the society, move upon the area where she lived, asking God to have mercy and asking God to have grace. You might say, "Well, how many times did she do it?" I don't know, but I know it was more than one time. You know what? You know, everybody probably saw this picture where Jesus is knocking on the door. Well, you know what? We need to keep on knocking with our prayers. Keep on knocking with our prayers. There's a teaching that says that all you need to do is pray one time and believe. That's false. You pray, and you believe. You keep asking, and you ask God to move. And it says that she, at one time, started to have revival meetings. God was using her, my God, to touch generation after generation of young children, generation and generation of men and women for the kingdom of God. And it says that she prayed and she sought God and she would not leave the throne room of heaven, saying, "Lord, move." And God was using her in the eastern part of the United States, in certain states where she would go in, her and her husband. Her husband left his practice and said that he was gone with his wife, and they started preaching the gospel. And the power of God would move as they would teach the people about Jesus and how He could change their hearts and how He can change their lives and bring off that heaviness from their hearts. But the thing was, she kept praying and he was praying also. But they would take the time to study His Word, and they would take the time to pray and to seek God with all their heart. And the power of God was coming into those places. Wherever they met, whatever buildings they met in, people would come with hundreds of thousands of people to come into that place where they could feel the presence of God and where they can feel the anointing and God moving upon their hearts and souls. And she, because of her prayer life, saw many miracles of God. A lady, Phoebe Palmer. It says also, her theme was, "The Spirit's baptism is the secret of pulpit power and the fountain of spiritual energy." Let me read that again. Her theme was this: the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit's baptism, is the secret of the pulpit power and the fountain of spiritual energy. You want to know why the power of God was moving? The power of God was moving in her heart and soul, and why people were getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and people were getting healed by the power of God? Because of the time that she spent with God. And the time that she spent with Him alone, saying, "Lord, move upon these people. Move upon these people and change their lives." She was called the mother of the holiness movement. which gave birth, and I know you're going to know these things, because of the revivals that took place in those areas of those states, she gave birth because of what God did to many denominations like the Church of the Nazarene, the Church of God, the Salvation Army, a lady. For the most part, the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal Holiness. Praise God. Look, there's nothing that God cannot do. We can often think, well, I know today's Mother's Day. You think, well, I'm just a lady. I can just do this. But God can use anyone and everyone that wants to be used by Him to change the things that need to be changed. So evil can be dispelled and the power of the Holy Spirit could come in and change the lives and change the hearts of the people. My God, she hungered and she thirsted. Did she ever think when she was in that closet long time ago before 1857, did she think, well, you know what? I know when I'm going to finish praying, God's going to give me revivals. When I finish praying, God's going to birth denominations. She never thought of that. I know it. She never thought of those things. She was hungry for the passion of God. She was hungry for the Spirit of God. Hungry, praying, asking God to move. Asking God to move. She impacted American society because of her prayers. Because of her prayers. And you also, ladies, can impact American society with your prayers. Don't ever think. And I'll say ladies, but they can go towards anybody, okay, today. Don't ever think, ladies, the prayers that you prayed many years ago are just faltering away through society like nothing. The prayers that you have prayed are being lifted towards the Father. And Jesus is making it come to pass because your faith is in Him. And the Holy Spirit is working to make those things come to pass. Don't ever think that your prayers that you have prayed for your children, the prayers that you have prayed for your husband, the prayers that you have prayed for your grandchildren, the prayers that you have prayed for just your family and society are off in nowhere land and it's nothing. God remembers the prayers of His people and He treasures those things. You might say, well, why aren't things happening like I think they should? Well, you know what? God knows what's best. And He will make things come to pass when it's time to come to pass. Somebody's phone. Oh. She doesn't know how to turn it on. That's okay. Phone's phone. Hey, look. But as society, and so we need to do everything possible, ladies, with your prayers to keep on praying. Keep on seeking God. Keep on honoring God. You know what you could do next time? Just open that door and just throw it out. Oh, look. You can have either door, 1, 2, or 3. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with it. My phone, oh Lord. We can't live without phones. You know, years ago, we lucky we had a phone in our homes. And we lucky if they had a phone down the road, you know, in the booth. Now, everybody has a phone everywhere we go. And we can't live without them. I mean, it's like, my God, what has happened? But that's okay. Ladies, your prayers are like the phones. God's in constant contact with you, guys, ladies. So look, keep praying. Keep seeking God. My theme, I guess, in what I want to get across to you today is, ladies, don't give up. Don't give up on your praying. Society has made, and we're going to talk ladies, society has made ladies so busy. I mean, you know, hey, lady, I know just as men are so busy, ladies are so busy. You know, first of all, we have the job. You have a job. You're sometimes out the home. Then you got to take care of the home. Then you have to take care of the children. Then you have to bring them to every extracurricular activity in all the world, you know. And all those things, it gets to be a lot. But you know, years ago, many of those kids weren't in extracurricular activities like today. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in it or not. I'm not trying to. But what I'm saying is the mother had more time as she was in that home to pray for her children. You know, can you imagine? Years ago, you know, a mother, you know, they didn't have the machines, washing machines. They had to wash by hand. You know, they get the shirt of Joe Blow and they just pray for him as they wash it. What I'm saying is, and I know it's kind of like, well, you're trying to say women should always be. I'm not. No. What I'm saying is our society has changed from the foundation of prayer for the husband and the children and has turned to in different directions. And so we've lost the prayers, which that means we've lost the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the pulpit, number one, and in the church. So we got to get back, ladies, back to that praying. Don't give up. Take the time. Take 10, 15 minutes to lift up your children and lift up your grandchildren. Lift up your husband and asking the power of the Holy Spirit to move upon them like never before. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, it says this, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will rejoice and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers of that is made in this place." Go back to the verse 14, please, Andrew. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin." Ladies, we need your prayers. Amen. That's all I can say. I know sometimes it's a thankless position. Sometimes, you know. But ladies, don't give up. Don't give up. And when I say ladies, men too. But ladies, don't give up. The things that you have written down in tablets or whatever, and you've sought God for, don't give up. Don't give up. Oh, the devil would want you to give up. The devil would want you to say, you don't need to pray for your children anymore. They'll never come to God. Oh, the devil wants you to give up and say, don't pray for your husband. He'll never come to God or he'll never change his life. Oh, the devil will want you to give up and say, don't pray for your grandchildren. Their loss is moot as goose. They'll never come to God. But you see, that's those slewfoot saying things. What we need to do is get back to the fundamental basis of saying, Lord, your scripture says, if my people shall call by my name, and ladies, you've called by his name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, praise God, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the kind of God you serve. Saying, come on, I can do it. The same God that moved in 1857 for Phoebe Palmer is the same God that can move today in 2014, May of this year. He can still move. He can still change lives. He can still give direction. He can still heal your children. He can still give them direction that they need for the future. He's still the God that can still bring salvation and healing and power like we've never seen before. What God is waiting, saying, come on, church. Come on, church. You can do it. Come on. Get a hold of me. See what I can do. Let me let you see my hand move upon this area like we've never seen before. But you see, it takes time. Just as Miss Palmer prayed, it took time. It took years. It took years. It took years for her to go into finally a place and revival took place. It took years. But it can happen. It can happen. Your children and your grandchildren and your husbands can walk down the aisle of this church or any church and give their hearts to the Lord. Because you see, we're fighting a battle. We're fighting a battle against old slewfoot. We're fighting a battle against the evil world. And we're asking God to move. And you see, that's why the enemy comes and attacks your minds, ladies. And you know this, God built you. God has built the lady. That's what the Hebrew context says. And those slewfoot knows the weak areas of a lady's physical body. Even maybe the mind area. Things that the devil will throw and try to bring down and bring destruction of all kinds. But he doesn't realize. And now he kind of knows. It was a lady that maybe brought sin into the world, which was Eve. But it was the lady that brought victory for all mankind because she birthed the Savior of the world. And that's what God will do. Yes, the enemy will try to bring destruction. But yet we need, as ladies, you need to keep praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking God to move and believe and stand upon His Word. And not be moved by circumstances. Not be moved by things that are coming after your mind and even your heart and even your bodies. But moved by what God says and what God says in His Word. And stand upon it no matter what. Because you see, you are the one that is standing in the gap. For some souls of people. And the devil will try to get us to look at other things instead of looking at what matters the most. And the souls of people is why Jesus came and died upon the cross to bring reconciliation back from the Father to mankind. Jesus brought it back. Stand in the gap and say, devil, this is the last time I tell you, but you better take note of this. You can't have my children, you can't have my husband, and you can't have my grandchildren. And I tell you what, you mean it. You might say, Pastor, if I do that, old Slewfoot's going to come after me. That's okay. He can come after you all he wants because you have to understand, you have a big brother that stands on the side of you. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that has brought victory in every area of your life. God Himself made flesh unto us this day. That you stand firm and you say, Father, move, Lord. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move upon my family. You see the attacks of the enemy. You've seen how their minds are clouded. My children and grandchildren, you see what's going on. But Father, you come in and take those things away, Lord. Because you see, it's not a physical battle we face. It's a spiritual battle. And so we got to fight it spiritually. Asking God to move. Asking God to move. Ladies, stand strong. We need you. We need you. We need you. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Talking about Hannah. I know last week I preached on Hannah. Anybody remember what I preached? God is faithful. You're right. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says that Hannah was going through a hard time because she had no children. And I know last week I kind of talked about this, how it was a rebuke. I mean, it was a harsh thing for a woman not to have children at that time. And it was looked at from judgment from God, which it wasn't. She just couldn't bear children. So she went to the house or the priest or the where God was at that time. And it says that she prayed. And look at verse 13. It says, now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. Verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Ladies, have you poured out your soul before the Lord? And I know you have. You're saying, Pastor, it doesn't stop there. I poured out my soul, my spirit. everything unto Him. She poured out her soul unto Him. And it says that Eli the priest came and said, Hannah, you will have what you prayed for. And we know that God gave her son, Samuel. Look at verse 23 of that same chapter, chapter 1, verse 23. And it says this, And Elkanah, which was her husband, said unto her, Do what seems thee good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Here we see she became pregnant with her first child, Samuel. She had him, but she kept her promise to the Lord. She said, Lord, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. Can you imagine how many times as her stomach was growing because Samuel was growing on the inside of her, that she would lay her hands and pray over Samuel? She knew it was a boy. That was before ultrasounds. 3D, 4D, whatever you want to do now. She knew it was a boy because God had spoken it. But she would pray continuously. She would pray saying, Lord, I dedicate this boy to you. Lord, let your spirit be upon him. Lord, protect him. Lord, control him. Lord, don't let him go after wicked things, Lord. Keep his heart towards you. Praying over him. Finally, she had him. And it says between 3 to 5 years, could be a little longer, whatever less. She never would go to the temple because they had to go every year to do certain things. But she stayed home. She read him Bible stories. She prayed with him. She taught him the commandments of God. I mean, just did everything she knew that he would have a godly heritage, that he would have a godly what? Conscience. You know, I often wonder how some people can do some things and not feel bad about it. I mean, you know, society today, I mean, they can do whatever, and some, not all, but some, and not feel any bad conscience towards it. Because there's no godly conscience there. But here she prayed over him. She taught him the word of God. And ladies, I know your children, you have taken time to pray with them. You have taken time to share God with them. You have given that time to them. It says that one day she brought him to the temple and she gave him to the priest. Do you think that was hard? Do you think she could have reneged on her promise to God? Do you think she thought about it? I think she did. But she couldn't. Because she knew what she had said unto the Lord. And she saw the miracle working power of God. As she prayed, ladies, as you're praying for your children, your grandchildren, your husband, you're going to see the power of God. You're going to see God move. Don't give up. The devil wants you to give up. But keep on doing what God has put in your heart to pray for them about. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking God. Asking God to move. Look at this. Samuel, because of her prayers of Hannah, his mother, he became the last judge of Israel. He was the first prophet in Israel. And also this, he anointed David king. Samuel did that. Whose family the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came from. Did Hannah think those things would happen? She didn't know he would be a prophet. She didn't know he would be a judge. She didn't know that he would lay hands on King David and anoint him, and the lineage of David would be where the Messiah would come in into this world. See, as you're praying for your children, and I know, let me tell you, you get tired of it after a while sometimes. You get frustrated, huh? You get tired, you get bewildered, you get, oh Lord, you see no change sometimes. But have the tenacity upon your heart and say, devil, you cannot have them. And stand firm as ladies, saying, Father, my trust is in you. And what you're going to do as you use my children and grandchildren and my husband and my family for the kingdom of God. See, with God, there's no barrier with Him. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter how tall we are, how short we are. It even doesn't matter how big we are. Or how skinny we are. We all know it. Okay, yeah. I'll stop right there. What God looks at is the heart of a man or a woman and says, what can I use? What can I do in their lives? That's what He looks at. And as we pray and seek Him, God comes in and changes things in our hearts and lives. Ladies, your prayers are vitally needed. Mothers, your children need your prayers. Wives, your husbands need your prayers. And ladies, your pastors need your prayers. Ms. Palmer's motto was the Spirit's baptism. The Holy Spirit's baptism is the secret of the pulpit power and the fountain of spiritual energy. As I said earlier, ladies, your prayers are vitally needed. We need you. I need you. Your family needs you. And I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for getting up early in the morning and praying for your family. Thank you for staying up late at night sometimes and praying for your children and grandchildren and your husband. You don't know maybe how many accidents have been avoided because of your prayers. But one day you'll know. On that great day when we get up there and the awards start to flow. It may amaze us who's up there and God is giving and giving and giving to. It may not be people that we're thinking in our minds. It'll probably be people that are unknown but known to God. That literally change the world by their prayers. Thank you. And I guess what I'm trying to encourage you to do is don't give up. Keep on going. Keep on pressing in. Keep on giving of those prayers for your family. Keep on giving what's inside of you. Philippians 4:6 says this. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. And I'll read it all. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. That means go before Him day after day. Let the request be known unto God. Lord, I'm coming to you for my husband today. Lord, I'm coming to you for my children. Lord, I'm coming to you for my grandchildren. But let your request be made known unto God. Not that He doesn't know it. Because He knows everything. But you know the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. The one that squeaks, that's the one that gets it. The one that's praying gets the prayers answered. It says, let your request be made known unto God. Not that He doesn't know it, but He wants us to pray it so that our faith is in Him and not in us. Ladies, keep praying. Keep on seeking God. Asking God to move. In Hebrews, this is the last verse. Hebrews 4:16, just about ready to close. Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us, ladies, go before God boldly to the throne room of grace. You're always worthy. Remember, He built you. He built you as you are. Might say, well, God needs to do some work. I understand. We all need a lot of work. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Thank you, Lord. To do a whole lot of work in us. Because we need it. But come boldly before Him. Day after day. Night after night. Come boldly before Him. Asking God to move in your family. And we are going to see change come. We're going to see your family and my family come to the knowledge of God. Asking God to move like never before. Remember this, ladies. You are worth a lot. Some of you, it might be hard for even for you to write that and read it. You are worth a lot. And also, your family needs you. Your family needs you. Some people think, nobody needs me. That's not truth. You're worth a lot to God, and your family needs you. They might not know it that they need you. That's okay, but they need you. Because they need your prayers, they need your support, they need your help. As ladies and men. But Jelaine and I, we want to thank you, ladies, for the support you've given to this church, the prayers, your financial blessings, everything you do. We appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And we love you. Would you please stand? Ladies, if you would just take your hand and put it over your heart just for a minute, because I want to pray for you, and I can't pray for everybody, but I can generally do it this way. Father, I thank you for the ladies that you have placed in this church, Lord. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would rest upon each and every one of them. Father, I pray that the wounded areas of their hearts, that you would heal this day. And that, Father, they would see their worth is not in what people think or do, but their worth is in who you are, Father. And Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon them. And that you would energize them on the inside. That the Spirit of God would work in them and through them. And that you would use them, Lord God, mightily for your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would show them things about their families. And that, Father, they would take that request to you and pray. And seek you about it, Lord. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give them insight to their children and grandchildren and their husbands. And that, Lord, that you would work in them and show them, and they would seek you, and they would see victory in every area of their lives, Lord. Father, protect them emotionally, physically, and spiritually, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your angels would be commissioned around about them, and the blood of Jesus would cover them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. And that, Father, you would be with them and you would help them this day. Father, I thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, before we dismiss,